We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Tonight, as many of you know, we have a very special guest, Jonathan and Karen Lindstam and their family. Most of them are here. Let's welcome them at this time as well. Very glad they're here. As many of you know, Jonathan has been connected with our church for quite some time now. I still remember the first time you guys visited Jonathan and came through the back doors of our church when we were over there at the other property, and you were in a very different place at that time, of course, out at Word of Life, and God was using you there, and then God redirected you and put you on the mission field all over in Uruguay. I can't say it the way you can, so I'm not even going to pronounce it and try to be all fancy. It's Uruguay. That's how Americans butcher it, all right? So he has this really cool, suave way of saying it, and so I can't quite pull it off like that, but they've been there for several years now, and of course, our church has been very integral in supporting them, loving them, helping them get there, and as I often say when missionaries are here, just simply holding the ropes while you guys are there. And I shared with the church recently some of the struggles and the difficulties and the uphill battle, and now this difficult impasse that they are at. And I had talked with Jonathan a couple weeks ago. Actually, I was at Chicago at the pastor's conference. He and I had a really good conversation and worked out this opportunity for him to come and share his heart and kind of let us know what God's been doing, where they're at, what's happening. And so, Jonathan, we're so glad you're here, and we love you and your family. Karen, are you out there? Where are you? There you are. Hey, I didn't see you after. I'll see you after. So, I saw your daughter. She's gorgeous. Thank God she looks like you, Karen. Amen. Yeah. And so, Jonathan, even though you almost killed my firstborn, there's a long story with that. I always give him a hard time when he comes. You don't need to explain the story. It's just a joke. But he and Michael have a very special friendship. And so, Jonathan, thank you for being here tonight. Would you please make him welcome as he comes? Thank you.
A very special murderous relationship, apparently. All right. Good evening. This is going to be hard. Chad, he already left, didn't he? Man. He killed me with that song. That's one of our favorite songs in Uruguay. I think that's probably only the second time I've ever heard it in English. And so it was a joy and a pleasure. All right. There's a lot to share. And I don't want to take up a ton of time. And I really don't want to get weepy on you. Because that's not who I typically am. I love you, and I love this church, and man, I better pray before I go any further. God, please, tonight, show us Christ. That is who we want to see. For when we are weak, you are strong. And your magnificent power is on display. You are good. And I am certain of that. And you are faithful. And I thank you for the love that you have shown our family through this church. And I thank you for the way that they have held our hand over these last several years. You are good. And I rejoice tonight at the privilege of being able to share your story and the good things that you have done in Uruguay. So I give this night to you, I give my words to you, and I'm reminded that Paul visited Corinth with fear and trembling and weakness so that the power of the gospel would not rest in his eloquence, but in your majesty and in the great power of the gospel. And so I pray that if I am a bumbling idiot tonight, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, that you would receive glory, because that is the one person we want to see tonight. So please help me not to make much of myself or our story, but much of Jesus and much of his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to need tissues. It's not my nose is running. My eyes are running. I don't see anything here. All right. I'm going to tell you guys some good stories, and that'll shift my thoughts a bit. If I don't look at you, it's because I don't want to start this up again. So I may just look down all night. My kids actually asked me the other day, "Dad, do you cry?" And because I did a while back, and it was kind of strange for them. They don't see that often. Too bad they're not here. All right. Thank you. Thank you guys for your investment in our family. And I want you to know this simple truth. There is a church in Montevideo, Uruguay today that gathered this past Sunday, that will gather this coming Sunday, that is going to gather tomorrow night to study the Word of God, that was not in existence 2 or 3 years ago. And it is there because of your prayers, and it is there because of your support. So God has done some awesome things, and we have some wonderful things to rejoice in, and I'm here to tell you some great news. The church is there. The church is growing, and it is a hostile environment to the gospel and a hostile environment to churches and to people who proclaim the gospel, but God is still at work because Jesus promised that his church would be built and that the gates of hell would not advance upon it, would not tear it down. His church would move forward, and it is moving forward in phenomenal ways. Now, Uruguay is just one tiny little place in this massive world where God is doing things. And so maybe one thing I hope you can take away from tonight is that God is huge, and he is at work all around this world, not just in Newport Richey. And he is at work in ways that would probably make you very uncomfortable and surprise you and boggle your mind to think that God would even do such things or allow such things. But God is so much bigger than we imagine him to be. He's not North American. He's cross-cultural. He's not an old man with a white beard. He does not respect country borders. In fact, countries did not exist when the world was created. People existed. And so God, as Ed Gibson always says, did not die for geography. He didn't die for countries. Jesus died for people. So God is at work, and he's doing some great things. The church is there. And 2 years ago, we were still meeting in my home. We now have outgrown that home. We have a space that we are sharing with another little community. We are so thankful for that space. It has allowed us to do a lot of things that we could never have done in our home. There's the fruit and vegetable market, which those of you that have followed our story know how that has played an integral role in us getting connected with our neighbors. That is actually still going on and will continue to go on for a few more weeks. And then we're going to celebrate our last Saturday with that community in just a few weeks. The women in our church community are growing, and they are showing just some amazing hunger for the Lord, for righteousness, for God's word. We are still waiting for our men to step up and take leadership. And in the world we live in, it's a slow process. But I want you to rejoice that just a few months ago, I'm shaking. Why am I shaking? Okay, just a few months ago, we celebrated a baptism. Didn't quite look like the one that you guys had here, but our baptism was also on the beach, And we did it on a Sunday morning, and it was awesome. And we had a wonderful time. And a middle-aged woman named Suleyma was baptized. And if I had time, I could tell you Suleyma's story. Maybe I'll be able to come back another day and share that story with you. But it is phenomenal. It is amazing. It is a story of God's radical transformation in this woman's life and how God is now using her to begin to touch other people's lives as well. So some really great things are happening. And about a year ago, our family began to go through some turmoil within our family. I'm not going to give you guys a lot of details because I don't need to. You don't need to know all the details of everything that's gone on. If you want maybe a few, I can share with those with you personally. But suffice it to say that our family was just going through some turmoil and some struggles. Our kids were struggling. Man, I'm shivering like I'm cold. Maybe some water would help. Can I have your coffee? No, just kidding. All right. Oh, man, I think my nerves are just fried. This is actually the first time that I've shared anything of our story since we came back to the United States a few months ago. And this is the first time I've spoken to a group in English in a couple years. And so I just got to loosen up a little bit. Anyways, we were just experiencing some turmoil in our family. We thought that maybe this is just a season, you know, things will get better, things will calm down. Well, they never really did. My wife began to say to me, you know, like, there's something more serious to this than we realize. This is a bigger deal than we think, but we began to seek some counsel while we were there. We have some good friends that were counselors to us. We began to seek some counsel from our organization. Our teammates began to help us through some of these struggles, but things were undoubtedly not getting better. In fact, they were getting far worse, and our family dynamic just was really struggling. There was a lot of volatility in our home. And things began to get kind of out of control, and they began to get bad enough. Thank you very much, sir. Okay. things began to just kind of get out of control, and our organization began to see that things were probably a bit more severe than they realized, and certainly more severe than we realized. And so back in February of this year, they contacted us and they said, listen, you guys need to come back to the States. You need to spend a season in the States getting some counsel, trying to stabilize your family and your family life and your family dynamic. And you need to spend some time receiving some help, being on the receiving end. And so we came back in March and we went out to Kansas City, Missouri, which is where... Man, this is killing me. Man, I need to pray again. Let's do that. Lord God, I know I am not nervous because I know that these people love us. And I just ask that you would calm my nerves and allow me to speak clearly and efficiently to this church. But Lord, I am reminded of Moses' stammering tongue. And through his stammering tongue, you humbled a king and you brought a nation out of slavery. And so God, use my stammering tongue, my quivering body to lift up the name of Jesus and to glorify your name. Please help me to speak clearly and not distract from the message that you want to get out tonight.
Father, I pray for Jonathan. I just want to uplift him to you. And I know in your word when it said that Moses' hands were heavy, someone came and stood next to him. And in my life, Lord, you have brought some wonderful people who lift me up. And I know the feeling of standing up here feeling like you are, Lord, just struggling. And I pray for Jonathan now that you would just let him rest in you. Let him sense your grace and peace flow through him. Spirit of the living God, strengthen him. Just calm his nerves. Help him to just be able to communicate and realize he's just talking to his family. He's just talking to his family. And so, God, I love him, and I'm thankful for him. I pray, God, you'll give him the courage and the strength now just to continue on and to not be distracted by what's happening internally and just focus on the task at hand. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. So we, thank you. Is that coffee?
It is.
Coffee secretary sixes. Right there. That's my secretary, Robin Bell, right there.
Coffee fixes everything. It's warm. Oh, good. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just glad it's you guys and not some other church I don't know that very well. Okay, so we went out to Kansas City, and right before we went out to Kansas City, we sat down with our teammates, which if anybody in here knows Becca Robinson or knows Jordan and Sarah Bush, you need to know that they are the most amazing people on this planet. We have the best teammates that anyone could ever ask for, and we love them with all of our hearts. And so we sat down with them. We trust them implicitly. And we sat down with them and we said, all right, guys, lay it on us. Tell us what is going on, what you see from your perspective. Don't hold anything back. Give us your 100% of your perspective because we're about to go back to the States. We're about to address all these things, and we need to hear what you guys have to say. And they gave us, over the next couple of hours, a gold mine of information and insight into our family, into what they observed as was some of our struggles. And I'm going to share at least one of those with you guys from a broad perspective. But we realized that the struggles that we were having were far more than just our children and parenting struggles. They were just family dynamics as a whole. It was just an improper perspective that we had on ministry and its hold on our lives. Please excuse me while I enjoy it. That. It's hot. So we went out to Kansas City. We went there because that's where our headquarters is for our organization. And frankly, we don't know anybody there. And that's where we needed to be, a place where we didn't know anybody, where we weren't tempted to get into a whole bunch of ministry opportunities, and where we could just listen and talk and converse and listen to our kids and interact with them. So we spent 2 months out there. We did some medical evaluation while we were there, some psychological evaluation, some counseling. It was actually a very good, very profitable time. We learned a lot. And so we said, all right, can we please go back to Jacksonville? Because Jacksonville is where I grew up, and that's where I went to college. That's where we met. Karen's got some family there, and the church that one of the churches that sent us out to the mission field. Goodness gracious! Stop. This is crazy. It's never happened this bad before. Sometimes I shake when I speak, but man. All right. So, anyways, we went to Jacksonville, and the idea was, let's go there. Let's spend some time there, a season there. Let's try to put in a little bit of the ministry stress back into our lives, see how the family responds, and then after maybe a couple months, we can begin to prepare to go back down south to South America. Well, while we were there, things didn't really get better. We went through some rough patches and rough seasons, and through a season of really about a month that we spent there, which is now about a month and a half, we came to the realization that our path to healing as a family is going to be much longer than we thought. And it is not going to be wise for us to return to Uruguay anytime soon. So just a couple weeks ago, you guys are actually the first to know this, we made the decision collectively with our pastoral staff and Avant that the best option for us would be to resign from Avant and to let go of our return to Uruguay, take that off the table, and begin pursuing full-time family stability and health. We haven't told our church community that yet, our church down in Uruguay. They don't know. And so that's one of the things I want to ask you is to pray for, is pray that they would receive that well. Pray that we'd be able to communicate well, because they're going to have a really hard time understanding why that is. We've told our teammates, and they're awesome. They've been so good. They've been so gracious. And they've told us, good, you guys need to stay there. And the fact that your teammates could say that and be left kind of on their own for a little while is a testament to their character and just how incredible they are. In a couple weeks, I'm going to head back down to Uruguay. I'm going down there with two of my sons because our departure from Uruguay was quite abrupt. And when we left, we had every intention and expectation that in a few months we would be returning. And we told everybody that. We said, as long as it is within our power and our human understanding, we'll be returning after a season. And so now, I'm going to take my boys back down so some of them can say goodbye to some of their friends. We don't believe that our ministry in Uruguay is done. We hope that in some way we can continue to serve our team, and there may be opportunities for me to make trips down there to continue to serve that church. Goodness gracious. come on, coffee. So we are hoping that in some way, shape, or form, we will be able to continue to serve and love those people. I want to celebrate the good, okay? And I want to show you something really, really cool that the Lord has done in all of this. We are, despite what it appears, the impression I'm giving you, we are not anxious over what is happening. The reason we are not anxious is because we have a loving and good Heavenly Father that saw everything that has been transpiring before time began, before we ever even went there. He knew the precise day and moment of our departure. He knew exactly what needed to happen in order for that to take place. And he had everything in his hands. And he had everything under control. And we've been reminded of that probably a dozen different times over the last few months. We are confident that God has a good and a perfect plan. And honestly, I believe that the Lord allowed, in some ways, our family to implode while down there so that we would be forced to leave before things got far worse and beyond repair. So I thank the Lord for the struggles that we've gone through, but now I'm getting ahead of myself. Our situation, as worded by a good friend of mine over here, is brimming with hope. We're in a dark spot, but Jesus is all over it. And Jesus is in it. And where Jesus is, there is light and there is hope. And there is no situation so dark that the gospel cannot be seen. There's no situation that is out of his control. And one of the huge lessons that we have come away with in this time is that we have a calling to be a parent. And I don't know that I was real clear on that when we went down there 5 years ago. I'm still learning what that looks like and what that means. But a calling as a parent is an impossible calling. It really is. It's like calling you to lift up this building with your bare hands.
When you look at that, you think that's impossible. There's no possible way this could ever be done. And in the same way, we are called as parents to shape the heart and the God consciousness of our children and lead them toward the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And we can't do that. And yet we're called to do it. And so we have a massive impossible task in front of us. And I don't think we realized just how central of a calling that was and how much time it really demanded. My question is, what importance do you give to parenting? And I'm going to admit that we have not, and we are trying to correct this, give the proper importance to parenting that we should have. How much time and energy do you give to parenting? Do you devote to studying your kids and learning about who they are and why they do what they do? And what is it about his brother when he does that to him that makes this one go so crazy? Like, what's going on in this dynamic? Let's dive into that and study that and learn about this. And we had probably all kinds of warning signs going on that we just didn't see them. Honestly, I didn't see them. My wife probably saw them far a long time before I did. And one of the great lessons I've learned in this, which she is so thankful for, is listen to your wife. I said it publicly, Karen. Your wife is far more in tune to the needs of your children than you probably are. And you need to listen to her. Are there things that I am treasuring over parenting? Do I treasure possessions? Do I treasure stuff? Do I treasure success? And this was the one for us. Did we treasure the ministry more than we treasured our children and the role that God had given us and has given us in their lives to parent them and shepherd them? And God has not given us competing commands, right? So he's called us to be parents, but he's also called us, all of us, to be ministers of the gospel in our circle, our sphere of influence, whatever that may be. And those don't have to contradict. You can be a good parent and you can be a good minister of the gospel. But if your ministry of the gospel or your other callings, whatever other spheres you have, are interfering with your ability to be a good parent, then there is something wrong in that dynamic. And that's what required us to step back and step out of our situation completely and listen to other people who observed us and watched us and learned from us, or not learned from us, don't do that. Well, don't learn to do exactly what we did, but learn from the chaos that we went through. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm not going to take the time to read it right now, but it is a passage in which God lays out clearly the command to be a parent. Verses 6 all the way down through verse 21. And the whole point of this passage, Deuteronomy 6, please, if you're not familiar with that passage and you have children in your home, you need to go read that a dozen times tonight. That is the central passage for God's calling upon parents and how they are to live with children in their home. And everything that you do from day to day should be revolving around shaping their God consciousness. Actually, I want to give you a quote from a book. Todd told me that he's mentioned it to you guys, and I'm so happy that he has. I wish we would have discovered the book a year ago. We just learned about it when we got to Kansas City. But it's called Parenting, and it's written by Ted Tripp. The subtitle is 12 Gospel Principles for Changing Your Parenting, something along those lines. If you guys can find that, you can put the a screenshot of the book cover so just people can have that cemented in their mind. That book is a gold mine. He says in this book, your work as a parent is a thing of extreme value because God has designed that you would be a principal, consistent, and faithful tool in his hands for the purpose of creating God consciousness and God submission in our children. So God has opened my eyes and your eyes to see how wonderful and how amazing and how true and how beautiful he is so that you can in turn pass that on to your children and give them this love for the creator of the universe. That is your role as a parent. And so there's two things I want you guys to take away with, take away whatever you want tonight, but I want you to know that you have a calling as a parent. You have a calling as a grandparent. I know there's some grandparents in this room, and grandparents have a calling still to their children as long as your children are around and in your life. The other thing that I want to leave with you is that weakness is a gift. I am praising God that he has made me weak and that he has shown me that I cannot do so many things that I want to do or I think I should do, and many things that he's even called me to do. He's called me to an impossible task so that I will depend on him. Paul's relationship with the Corinthian church is pretty incredible, and those two books, those two letters are so just chocked full of wisdom and insight. 2 Corinthians is all about the glory of weakness. And in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, 2 Corinthians 1, 8, "For we would not, brethren," writing to this church, "have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Okay, so there was a period of time when he was ministering in another part of the area. He says that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. So Paul's describing a situation that is impossibly challenging. He says, we got to the point where we were ready to die. We wanted to die. We were so oppressed by our enemies, by the persecutors of the gospel, that we wanted to die. We despaired of life. We wished, God, please take us home. This is misery. But then he has the wisdom to tell us why they were brought to that situation. He says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver," he will deliver, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So God brought me to this point where I had, this is Paul speaking, brought me to this point where I had no hope even of life. And the whole purpose of him bringing me to this point is so that I would cry out to him, that I could be dependent on him, and that his glory and his honor would be on display. Because God gets great glory through broken, weak vessels being used for his good pleasure. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he even says that, and when he's talking about this thorn that he had in his flesh, not a literal thorn, but a figurative oppression, he says that God used a messenger of Satan. God sent a messenger of Satan to harass Paul so that God's purposes would be accomplished. Paul makes it very clear. God gave me this thorn in my flesh so that God would be glorified, so that I would learn this lesson that in my weakness, his power is great. So here's the cool thing, one of the amazing things that we can declare victory in right now. God uses Satan's purposes to defeat Satan. Satan's thorns are often self-defeating. And this is not a new thing. He did this with Job. He did this with Judas. He did this with Paul. When Satan entered Judas's body to hand over Jesus to be crucified, we know that Jesus died on that cross because it was initiated by this betrayal of Judas. And we know that in 2 Corinthians 2:15, when Jesus died on the cross, Colossians 2:15, when he died on the cross, this is what he accomplished. Having spoiled the principalities and powers, That's referring to Satan and his demonic power. He made a show of them, of the demonic rulers, triumphing, show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So when Judas handed Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified, Satan signed his own death sentence. Satan gave up the one damning power that he had, unforgiven sin. He gave it up to Jesus on the cross. Jesus conquered that ability for us to be damned by our sin. And he has liberated us from that power because of what happened on the cross. And this was initiated by Satan's ploy. Okay? So it doesn't matter how clever he thinks he is, how effective his tools may be, God can use those tools to shame the great deceiver. And so I'm here to tell you that we are not walking in shame. We are rejoicing that God has allowed these things to happen and shown us what type of parents we need to be, what type of family we need to be. My strength, Jesus' strength, is made perfect by my weaknesses. Weakness teaches me to depend upon God for strength and grace. Therefore, anything good that comes from my trials can magnify his name. Our heart is for God's mission on this earth. We want to be involved in that. We will be involved in that for the rest of our lives. But our season of ministry in Uruguay has come to an unforeseen end from our perspective. And so our season now is to rest and to spend time devoting ourselves to our family and to growing as a family. So we have committed to being up in Jacksonville for at least a year. We're willing to be there much longer if we need to be. And those of you that get our newsletters, you're going to keep hearing from us. And every now and then, we're going to send you an update and let you know, hey, listen, this is what's happening. And we do expect that in some way we will have a role in missionary work overseas. But it's probably going to look a lot different than what we have done thus far. And we don't know what it's going to look like. And we have no idea where it's going to take us. And honestly, we're trying not to think about what's going to happen a year from now. We're trying to just think about this year right now. And we know what our family needs. We know what our kids need at this moment. So please pray for our church community in Uruguay. Please pray for our teammates in Uruguay. They need encouragement. Maybe now more than ever. I know that we are not an indispensable part of the ministry down there, so God can keep working even without us. And he has been. We've been gone a couple months, and good things are happening, maybe because we're gone. And so we are still rejoicing at what is going on down there. But please pray for that church community. Please pray for our teammates. Please pray for our children as we transition up into life and really stepping out of ministry for a season up in Jacksonville. And we'll be back to update you. And any chance Todd gives me to come down and teach God's word, I will rejoice at that. And I love this church. And I love this group of people with all my heart. You have no idea how refreshing it is to be here tonight. And so I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your investment. Your investment has been invested in eternity. And there are eternal rewards, bountiful rewards in line for the people of this church and the way that you've invested in our family and in dozens of other families around the world. So thank you for praying. Please don't stop. Your greatest ministry is prayer, at least from here for the nations. So thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with my stammering tongue. Finally stopped. I don't know what happened. I guess I started preaching. Let me pray, and I'll turn it back over to Todd. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. And I thank you for your magnificent sovereign hand. Your sovereignty extends so far beyond what I can even comprehend. I know that you're in control, and I know that you are good, and I don't doubt your goodness, and I don't doubt your plan in all of this. So God, I pray that you would take some piece of what we have learned and allow it to be useful and helpful to this church so that they may follow you with all of their heart and find their deepest joy and satisfaction in you and not in success and not in even in ministry, not in money, not in even the success of their children, that they may find their greatest joy and satisfaction in you and you alone. God, I commit this time into your hands. Please use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.